Welcome to the Behavioral Profit, the podcast where we decide the human side of business growth. I'm your host, Debbie Longo, Executive Behavioral Coach. And each week we dive into the mindset shifts, leadership strategies, and cultural behaviors that drive higher performance and greater profits. Whether you're leading a team or building a business, this is to learn how human behavior fuels business success. Today's guest is a certified nonverbal communication expert, personality profiler, and the founder of Nonverbal Ecosystem. With a PhD in economics, a master's in data science from Harvard, and 2 decades of leadership experience at Boeing and Microsoft, Tatiana brings a rare blend of behavioral science and business strategy. She now helps B2B leaders, sales teams, and founders elevate executive presence, close high-value deals faster, and lead with emotional authority using advanced profiling, body language decoding, and AI-informed insights. Get ready to think how you show up, because Tatiana's work goes beyond words. Good afternoon, Tatiana. Welcome.
Thank you.
There's a few questions, and they're divided into topics. The nonverbal ecosystem, why silent signals dictate 50 to 93% of your impact. What is the nonverbal ecosystem, and how does it shift communication?
So there are multiple studies that tell us that nonverbal represents a huge percentage. And there are debates how much it is, and people sometimes argue with each other about the numbers. I recently posted a YouTube video about that. Most known study is from 1967 from Albert Meribi, when he found that our emotional communication is up to 93% of nonverbal and only 7% to words. Another study by Ray Birdwhistle says that words account only for 30-35%. There is another study about nonverbal being around 80-85%. I demonstrated nonverbal can play a huge role. But for simplicity and to avoid arguments, I like to use 50-50. So about a half of our presence is what we say and about a half of how we do it. So one nonverbal ecosystem consists of nonverbal piece, and I include the personality profiling so we can tailor our communication. We understand ourselves and we understand someone who we communicate with well, so we can have personalized experience which makes it better for both sides. And a nonverbal piece consists of 9 different categories. It's body language, it's eye contact, gestures, it's how we dress, and other things. So this is what I'm covering in my nonverbal ecosystem.
The next question is, which invisible signal sabotages leaders most often?
3 main things, and all of them related to mismatches. So one I would highlight, it's a mismatch between what we say and how we show it. For example, if I say, hello, everyone, I'm so confident and I'm happy to share with you today. Do you feel a mismatch? We feel some subtle cues and differences, so it can go different ways. But when it's mismatch, when we try to send one message but express it differently, this is the first mismatch between the message and how we show up. The second one is when we address personality the way we would like to be addressed. For example, if we have a driven person, goal-oriented, who does everything fast, and this person is communicating to someone who is anxious, slow, takes its time, his or her time to analyze things, to have a plan B and plan C, and this person will start like, let's decide now, move on. Then the distance will become wider and wider between them because they have different ideas about life. So it's very important to see who is in front of us and tailor our messaging to the person. Knowing profiling is great, but even if you don't know, you can observe the person and see how they behave. And maybe you can adjust here and there perception, whatever you've gathered from observing them. And it's important everywhere where we communicate with each other. And the third mismatch, when our action and intention don't match what we actually do. So for example, I would say, Debbie, how are you? How was your day? And how was your vacation? And I'm doing something else. And you feel like, is Tatiana interested? and what she's asking, or she's just doing like check marks. In sales teams, they have a screen, they don't engage, and then they get surprised, like why this client walked away, why they didn't sign up, and they don't realize that the way they showed their disinterest and this potential buyer, they didn't feel connected.
There's a statistic when I meet somebody for the first time, that is about 5% of their personality. And we think that's how they really are. And that's judging the person. Maybe they want to hire an employee. That employee has to make a really good impression in that interview. They have coaches for this so they can really present themselves properly, because one wrong move is going to ruin the whole thing. And that business owner will say, I can't hire this person. The nonverbal ecosystem that you were talking about. And if I want to create a relationship with my employees and expand my business and make goals so I could increase sales and profits, I want to do all these things not by judging and by saying, this is the way that the person is. Nonverbal is important in a lot of situations, because I had to be nonverbal in a professional way. And this starts with the business owner or the executive. Then not only are the employees going to follow, but they're going to see that business owner completely different, because that's more valuable than the things that they say. Because you ever hear of actions speak louder than words?
Not only actions, but also our nonverbal. Because as we talked with you, someone can be saying one thing, but showing completely different thing with their nonverbal, and you read it. And I wanted to add to your statistics that usually we have up to 5 seconds make overall impression. And after that, it changes a little bit, but not too much. Even though we don't know person very well, we saw him or her first time, and then we saw that this person is actually very shallow. Comprehension of them in the first 5 seconds. So it's very important. And I want to add to your very valuable point about connection. So we are not talking about faking or creating some kind of power pose to impress someone artificially. This is to connect. And if the manager would like to understand their employees better, so it works for both sides, manager has more influence and feels that they can rely on their employees, some particular personality types will not tell you much about their personal life or concerns they have. But if you ask them some questions, and even if they don't answer openly, but you watch their body language, what they are doing at the moment, if they cover their mouth, face, that will us some cues that they are not completely confident in what this manager is saying. You can ask other questions. You can create some discussions, maybe some meetings about something. So be more observant and try from different sides. And when you find this key to your employee, the whole thing changes. And we know that the majority of employees leave companies not because of the companies, but because of the managers. So if we address this element, then we would have fewer people leaving because of this mismatch.
The second topic is personality profiling in sales and leadership, customizing influence strategies for faster, deeper trust. How do you quickly profile a prospect in a high-stakes meeting?
There are some cues that we can look at, and some people are more expressive than others. And it's also a cue, because we have personality types that like to show up, that they're here and they're there. And others just, I'm there, but I'm on the back. If you need me, you can rely on me. So there are different styles on how people show up. And this would be the first cue. The second one, we can look at their facial expression, and even wrinkles that we have can suggest to someone who understands how to read them, what personality type it is in front of us. Another thing is gestures. Are they wide and open or narrow and close to the body? Is there a lot of adaptation signals? We all have them, but we express them differently. This will show anxiety about particular situation or topic that we are talking about. And another thing, even to look how we appear. Are we in worn-out t-shirt or are we in a dress with big flowers and a lot of accessories and a lot of makeup? It's also signs of personalities. And of course, I just would like to just caution that don't judge by one thing. So we need to see a comprehensive picture of the person, because sometimes I can walk with a stylist and be dressed not because I like it or because of my personality, but how they taught me to look for the occasion. So if we take just one element in isolation, we also may be judging based on how this element looks at the moment, but not the total picture. So if we look at all the elements together, and even better, if we have some information prior to the event to read what they wrote or how they showed up online or at work, if we have this information, that it will add to the story. We can make some assumptions. And try, for example, if we communicate at the meeting, try approach for strategist or try approach for anxious person and see how they respond. And if our approach with them, they understand us and they respond and we act well, then we probably got it. If not, then we can pivot based on their reaction. So this would be the main things that I would look at. And again, if you are not a profiler or nonverbal communication expert, just trust your instinct. Watch for those signs and cues and try, experiment. And with more and more practice, you will get better and better at.
Even if I am a reputable employee or manager or somebody that's higher up in the company, I still want to pay attention and I want to be like I am at the job. I don't want to act differently. We're really firm when I'm at the job and I'm delegating job duties to the employees, but then I walk into the meeting, I act like a new employee. I want to be able to play the part, because to me, that's really what it is. An executive plays his part. He does his role. The employees do their role. What I got out of what you're saying is they need to play that same part in everything they do at that job. I was thinking of something that you said in the beginning. I don't wear it up when I do these podcasts, because I want people to see how I really am. If I wear makeup during the podcast, people are going to think that I wear makeup all the time. Then I sit on a couch. So I make it look like a casual conversation. So not where I'm a business person. I'm sitting at a desk. I'm sitting in an executive chair. To me, those are things that might possibly turn somebody off. That's like a statistic. 2 billion people listen to podcasts. I make clips only because my podcasts are pretty long most of the time. What I got out of what you're saying is I want to play that role. I want to make sure that I'm giving the impression that I should be giving. Because if I don't do that, then not only is it going to create confusion, I could get fired if I
can add a couple of comments. So as far as makeup, for example, it really depends on taking a mini MBA course for style. Because I have clients who ask for this. Not wearing makeup to the events is a bad taste. So you see, perception is very different. What are they doing here? Did she even wash her face? What in other setting? I would say that being authentic most of the time, like as much as we can, but be appropriate at the same time is very important. And the second comment I wanted to make, so you gave example from what you've seen. I've seen a lot at companies that, especially females, at the meetings, they say something and people don't notice. And then guys say something and everyone catches the idea. And how about another one? Person doesn't do that much outside of the meetings, but during the meetings, especially with leadership, this person is the first one to speak up on the topic, cover achievements that the team or another person did without mentioning them sometimes, and things like that. So how to deal with those challenging situations to show up yourself? When you are not the person who is a performer, who is, look at me, I'm here, and here is my results, it's a deep walk. It's very hard, and I know from myself, because I don't like to speak up at every. This is a skill that we need to develop. And those people who feel that they need this work, it may be a little bit harder for them, but it will be very beneficial for them at the end. And sometimes we don't realize like what specific area we need to improve on, because we can improve work and improve everything. But if we talk about 80-20 rule, or those 20% of improvement that we can make in our nonverbal, that would affect 80% of perceptions that people getting from us. So I wanted to point out this challenging problem at work as well. Thank you.
So the next question is executive presence and emotional authority, practical routines that upgrade how leaders enter the room. What is the first behavioral blind spot you look for in C-suite client?
So going back, especially to females, I had very mentees at Microsoft before I started coaching and doing nonverbal sessions and video assessments. And what I see is that often females, but also males, undermine the authority. So they don't present themselves as well as they could. And it can be done by different forms. For example, one of those adapters, if we constantly do something or you are very confident you are talking about, but then you find you move in some ways. And again, I'm trying to exaggerate a little bit because I have only that much space to show here. Some examples that the subconscious cues that we will be reading from this person undermine a little bit more of the authority. If you look at some famous speakers, they've been with coaches and sometimes not a year or more. And CEOs of big companies, we think, oh, how good they are. They're completely different people. So it's a skill that you can acquire to project yourself very well. Those misalignments, mismatches that I mentioned earlier, the ones that I'm looking for, and also the ways that we don't undermine our authority ourselves.
I really appreciate your insight and the way that you explain it, because it's very easy to understand. I am the type of person, and whether I enter a room or wherever I go, I have a very leadership behavior. And I show that immediately. Like here, I'm sitting on a couch, I'm talking calmly. But if you see me in person, I'm not this way. I like the phrase, some people are natural born leaders. The way that I act and the impression that I make, whether it's a first impression or whether I start talking, people can tell immediately that I'm a leader and that I can take control and run a business. Many people have told me that. And that's why they wanted me to start my own business, which I was doing. But I was in management my whole life. I managed retail stores and I had no problems at all because of the way that I act and the way that I behave, how I enter the room, just like we were talking about.
But let me ask you, so you're probably a strategist and I have other assumptions, but also don't want to judge from a very short period of time. What would you say, do you have a challenge of not showing too push or not showing overbearing, overleading, and being on the softer side? Maybe for you, because you're on the couch and without makeup and trying to present yourself in a more casual way, those are your kind of things around to soften the leadership side of you. So. Yeah. Your personality type is the leadership. Go get it. But you have challenges maybe to adjusting on another end of it. And other people who are very good on the soft side, they have challenges with leadership.
I think that if I'm talking to one person, it's not as bad. But if I'm in a room with a group of people or even just a few people, I project that leadership and that very strong first impression. I do that automatically. I don't even think about it. And I like that. So I want to do more of that. I don't want to be calm.
It's great when whatever we would like to have, we have, right? This is a personality type that you've been born with. So we have main personality type that we are born with, and then the ones that we acquire through our life. For example, if I'm a shy person, but I need to stand up at the meetings, I need to show up, it's hard work for me because I need to change myself. If you are a leader position in a big company and then you come home and you need to be so and not being like, I will tell you where everything is, right? With your kids, spouses, relatives, then there could be another challenge with it. We need to adjust to the occasion and situation where we are. Some of us very successful at this and some learning and trying. But again, this skill is learnable, so we can train it and get better and better, at least if we want. If we don't, if everything is good, then there's nothing to add.
That's very true. Thank you. So next topic, gendered leadership patterns, when gender dynamics matter and when they don't. Do women leaders need a different playbook or just different emphasis? Do you tailor coaching for women in leadership?
I do, and I tailor it actually to each person based on the goals that they pursue, challenges that they observe, or maybe they heard feedback from other people like you shared with me. So the same with all individuals. But if we talk on female leadership specifically, then definitely. And I mentioned earlier that I noticed and I heard from females that they underestimate themselves and skills. So I interviewed over 100 people at Microsoft for data science positions. I interviewed males, females, project managers, data scientists, engineers, software developers. In 80% of the time, females undercut themselves. They think they need to have 120% of what is required in job description to even qualify. Male candidates, they have 60% and they think that's good enough, that requirements are too high, like it's not realistic. And when you talk with them, I tell them, you are so good. You need to go and ask for more difficult projects. When I work with nonverbal, I look for the things that our people already possess, because everyone has good things already in them and how they can leverage them to their advantage. I open their eyes and say, look at this, how it's great. When we do video assessment, I show them how great it is. Feel even better in their own eyes. They look at themselves differently. I try to look at 80-20 and adjust those 20% of what will give 80% of the impact of the perception. If they want to continue working more, then we can do more, but at least 20%. And for females, it's mostly about confidence and how they show up. When for males, it can be adopters, being too push, being too forward, being too much into there, where they can push people away. It's not completely 50-50 or black and white. It's a mix of main trends that I'm seeing.
So did you ever hear the expression, it's a man's world?
Yes, and it's changing depending on what time we live in and what culture. It all affects us. Fortunately, unfortunately, we not much we can do. And by the way, for your audience, I prepared free guide where they can see main things that they can watch for.
Just quickly, I think a woman is just as qualified for any job that a man does, if not more qualified. But it might be different in Russia. In the United States, to me, women have always been in the minority. And that's why we say it's a man's world. But when a woman really becomes a big leader, then they see that a woman can do it. But a lot of times, women have to be twice as good. They have to be twice as smart. They have to perform better. Just in my view, the way America is, and I've coached people like this, I know from my own experience.
Totally agree. It's the same, if not worse, in Russia. It's you need to be twice as good to prove your point. That's why these impressions that we make, perceptions that we create is very important. Because if you don't do it well, it's how much harder we need to walk. It's four times. So it's very important.
Very good. Thank you. So next topic, AI-informed human intuition, where AI enhances real-time behavioral decisions. Where does AI amplify, not replace your work?
So these growing AI industries, there are tools that are going into conversational AI, personalization, HR preparation, how we hire people, or how we even read interview when they try to identify patterns based on the video for the interview. AI is still not there. It cannot read in context very well yet. It cannot read all the cues. It misinterprets things. But as a baseline, if I work, for example, with big quantities of phone calls or something like that, established baseline, they help. But there are many issues. AI tools. Recently, I analyzed, I think, about 15 email tools for personalization. And I thought it will take me so long to analyze each of them and try and pay whatever the monthly fee is. I was surprised when like half of them just didn't work. There are either buttons didn't work or something was wrong on the website itself. Then another portion of them just gave promises, 8 times better personalization, something like that. But what they did actually is just get personalization with hello. And there is a name put in the brackets and some other information in the brackets, and this is where it ended. So not honestly much personalization. Another portion of tools was about scraping online space and inserting some information from there. But it can be creepy because if we email our prospect like, oh, I saw you attended this event with your son, I think it was cool. And then this prospect thinks, what? How do you know this information? Are you following me? Are you watching me? I don't want you to know this information about me and my son. So it can be creepy. If we use AI to communicate this way and then we talk with this person, do we really remember what AI talked about? The person on that end would remember because it details about their life. We can ask AI to summarize it for us, but the problem that the person on another end will not be talking in summaries. They can ask us, how about that event that I went with my son that you mentioned? Did you go? And you're like, what event? AI didn't give me this information in the summary. What event? I don't know. And if we talk this way with our prospects and they like after a few times realize who was writing me those emails, it's not about personalization, it's about breaking trust. Right now, many companies already have AI field and all AI-generated emails, personalized emails get filtered. But there are a few tools that can be useful that I can use. Some of them we need to be very careful from security perspective. So, for example, one of companies with great idea, but we don't know, like, what if something happens? They claim that they already have 2 billion emails, and to use their services, you need to give them access to all emails. They can grow with learning experience and have a bigger database of everything and to be able to help us. Just imagine if there is a breach, and recently there was 16 billion password breach in big companies. So if even big companies can be a problem like that, what can we talk about our emails? And I asked ChatGPT, just give me 20 scenarios how this information can be misused. And ChatGPT gave me 20. We are so realistic. So if we get this information, we also call emails that we have, maybe amounts that we are discussing, services that we are discussing, maybe customers, clients share information outside even the topic of the agreement. We expose potentially a lot of information. So we need to be very careful who we give access to and be very mindful who we are signing up for. But there are some good tools and they're improving. So hopefully it would be more of them, but I'm concerned about security.
There's a lot of things going on with AI, and I'm sure we could talk for a very long time about it. And the things that you mentioned were very basic, but I don't use AI, and there's really no reason for me to use it in my business. AI cannot replace our behavior. It can't replace our personality, the way that we talk. And to me, that's one of the reasons why the podcast is so valuable, because we had this whole conversation. And as far as I know, we didn't use AI. It's a fine line. But if somebody just spends their whole career writing emails or doesn't talk or doesn't converse with anybody, they just sit in a cubicle, then maybe it's good for them. A lot of times it can be a hindrance, and it depends on the industry that you're in, but it's very controversial. So the last topic and the last question is action toolkit for listeners, first steps to read a room, diffuse tension, and close high-value deals. What is one exercise a listener can try this week to boost executive presence?
I will give two, if it's okay.
Sure.
So one is to record me interview or whatever this person has and watch it without sound, then with sound, and think about what impression am I making on my audience and how I like it, or maybe there are some pieces that I don't. If you cannot see anything, you can ask someone you trust, maybe some relative or some coworker, friend. and ask their impression. Also, do it without sound and with sound. So they only can observe nonverbal and then can observe both. So this would be very valuable. We don't look at ourselves that much. It would be super beneficial. And another exercise would be great that if you have some goal, I would like to be this confident person, and I know that I have some internal limiting beliefs or some roadblocks, imagine that you don't have any of those. You're perfect, you're North Star. And record yourself. It doesn't have to be in real life somewhere at the meeting if you don't feel confident doing it. You can just do it with yourself. Just go in this state of mind, feel that you are that person, and record yourself giving speech or doing some actions, and compare this to your previous recordings from the meetings or whatever. And in most cases, you will see the difference that how you showed up here as the person who you wanted to be would be much closer to your North Star, if not completely there, than the one that you are in reality. And it would be the sign finding this difference and working on that. And the beauty of nonverbal is that it works both ways. So inside, transformation shows up on our external, on nonverbal, how we portray ourselves. But it also works the opposite way. So if we start being more open, showing more power, doing things that don't do that, but we should more, then internal also changes. So it works both ways. So addressing it from both perspectives would be the best. And of course, some people more inclined to internal work and others inclined to external work more. But the balance of both, I think, is the best.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Really good suggestions and insight. If I were just to take one thing away, one thing out of the last question that you said, and the key thing for me is toolkit, because I want to point the finger. It's you. You're the problem. It's your fault. And I don't really want to look at myself because that takes too much time and that's too much of a problem. And I can't be bothered with that. I help people with their behavior, whether it's looking at themselves, maybe they have an issue or something they want to work on, something like that. And so everything that you said was very important to me because I have people on this podcast in all different industries, and I'm trying to get a very broad range. That's why the podcast is so general. Most podcasts, they focus on one thing. Here's the script, here's the questions, but I don't do that because I want to be able to send a message and maybe try to contact the person that's in the industry of what we're talking about. In every podcast, I want to do that. And that's one of the reasons why I do it. So I want to be prepared and I want to have a plan. I want to have a toolkit for whatever it is. If I just wing it and say, this is going to happen, I don't really know, I'm just speculating, or it doesn't matter to me, then I might wind up in a worse situation than I am now. I don't want to take that chance. I want to make sure that I take the action and use the toolkit and make a plan and have a coach help me. The way that I coach, it doesn't matter what field you're in. I do something completely different than what most coaches do. And this is another reason why I have the podcast.
Working with expert not only gives you professional opinion, it shortcuts your path to success so much. I myself got into nonverbal, not because it was a dream from earlier age, but I was good at getting interviews, getting jobs and selling things. And so something worked very well. But I felt in some nuances it was missing, but I couldn't identify myself what exactly it was. And this led me to go into nonverbal, into profiling, learning more and now style and all of those things. And I learned from experts so much that I wouldn't have read from the videos that I would record because I'm not this expert. So it's super important to seek help and you will shortcut it so much. And I see it from the people who come to me that they try it with and something else and they're still there. But at least recording themselves and not they are not where they are and maybe tweaking a little, it's first step in realizing that there is some room for improvement. And because we talked with you, that behavior, nonverbal, it's a huge part of perceptions that we create on people and how we show up in this world in different circumstances. I totally agree. It's super important to work with experts who can help and accelerate your progress so much.
That was important. If you want to start applying this today, Tatiana created a free guide called 5 High Stakes Signals to Master for Executive Presence. It's based on real coaching breakthroughs and available at, I'll put the link in the description. It's a great primer to what I teach in more depth. Last question. How can listeners bring this kind of coaching into their teams?
So they can contact me. They can sign up on my website. They can find me on LinkedIn, searching for my name, Tatiana. I also have a YouTube channel. So I work with individuals and with teams.
Thank you for being on the show. I have the links here, and I'll put everything in the description, and it will be clear if you want to get in touch with Tatiana.
Thank you so much, Deb. It was a pleasure to be here and discuss such an important topic. And thank you for all the listeners. I hope that your impression will be great.
Thank you.